Blog Talk Radio.
A new day in Christian radio begins with a Christian perspective. Broadcasting live from New York City with your host, Elder Raymond E. Williams. Featuring exciting guests and interviews, current topics, and a Christian perspective. And now get ready for a Christian perspective starting right now. Yeah.
Oh my God. You are my God.
You're listening to Elder Raymond Williams, and this is a Christian perspective, and we welcome you and you and you. We welcome you this evening. God bless you, and it's good to be able to fellowship with folks. And you know, the funny thing about talking over a radio medium, and I was just talking to my guest, and I'll tell you about her in a second, is that, you know, you never know who you're talking to or even how far away the people are that you're talking to. You know, you can be talking to people in other countries, in other lands, people who don't have a good grasp of the English language, but you're talking to folks everywhere. You know, you have to love what they call the World Wide Web, because the World Wide Web is exactly that. It's for the whole world. And so we're ever so grateful and ever so thankful for this medium, because I think this is a medium that is so wide open, and well, we got you here, and that's all that matters. You know, I was talking with my guest. My guest today, by the way, is none other than the fabulous, the beautiful, my daughter-in-law, the knowledgeable prophetess, Naima Williams. She is just a lovely individual, and we're always so glad to have her with us. As a matter of fact, let's say hello to her. Prophetess, how are you?
Good evening, Pop. I love you, and God bless everyone out there. It's good to be here.
Amen, amen. Like I said, it's always good to have you with us, and, you know, it's always a blessing. As a matter of fact, I see another number there, and, you know, this number I haven't seen in a long time, but I recognize it even from a distance, and it is none other than my good friend, Pastor Christopher Hannon. Pastor Hannon.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, brother. How you been?
Oh, we're blessed.
You thought you were going to sneak one in on me. I know.
Well, you know, man, to be honest with you, man, I really miss the show. I miss listening to all the data and all the information you bring through this medium. And I said, you know, I'm going to chime in tonight and, you know, just listen in. You know, it's just a wonderful program that you do, Elder Ray.
Well, God bless you, man. God bless you. God bless you. But you know, it's just good to hear your voice, man, you know, because we haven't talked in a while. But, you know, I know that even though, you know, we're a distance away, you know, I know that, you know, we're still close. We're still going to always be just as close as we've always been, you know.
Sure.
And I have my daughter-in-law also on here, and her name is Prophetess Naima Williams, and she is a woman of God. She's full of knowledge and full of the Holy Spirit, and she's just one lovely, lovely individual. As a matter of fact, this young lady you could say that she was basically born on the mission field, okay? Because this young lady, she travels all over the place. She's in Atlanta, Georgia right now, but she does a lot of mission work in the city of Chicago. You know, she used to live here in New York. You know, she's just a wonderful, wonderful individual. And by the way, to my audience, we're talking to Pastor Christopher Hannon as well, and he is from Birmingham, Alabama. Am I talking right, brother?
Absolutely right. That's correct. We just had the president come to just a couple of miles away from my home. He was at Lawson College on Thursday of last week, and my daughter was one of the students that was in the inner circle, if you will, to receive him at the school.
Really?
I mean, yeah, she's on the president's list at Lawson.
Look at this. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's back up a little bit. You mean your little girl is not a little girl anymore? You're telling me that she's in college and oh my goodness. Oh no.
No. And I want to give a shout out to her because today is my baby girl's birthday. Happy birthday, baby. Daddy loves you. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Let us all say happy birthday I got her name. It starts with a J.
Yeah,
it starts with a J. It's going to come in a minute. Oh, Lord. I don't remember Jadira, Chris. I'm sorry.
Jadira. That's okay.
Yes. Jadira. Happy birthday, Jadira.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Prophetess Williams, how you doing there, young lady?
I'm blessed by the best. I cannot complain at all.
Amen. I know that's right. You know, I was thinking about, you know, what has been going on in our country and the things that's happening, you know, all over the world. You know, a lot has been going on since we spoke and since we've been on the air just last week. As a matter of fact, you know, the news, a news story broke just today, or not just today, but just in the last couple of days, that Lufthansa airplane co-pilot actually crashed the jet purposely, killing himself and 149 crew members and passengers. Now, you know, this is, you know, they say is they call it a crime, but, you know, this is extremism. This is terrorism at its worst, you know, when somebody can take and do something like that. I mean, you know, how can you, you know, even if you have some kind of problem, how can you take the lives of 149 people that have nothing to do with your problem? You know, go ahead.
You know, it's interesting. What happened to me today, I was at work, and there's a postal individual. He works for the Postal Service. And I was witnessing to him because I give out a lot of religious or spiritual information, literature. And he comes in just to get that. But I was witnessing to him about how God used me to minister to a young lady that was, I didn't know at the time, but I started to minister to her, and she was kind of like depressed and suicidal.
Yes.
So when I was sharing the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ, she was touched by the Holy Spirit, and the Lord ministered to her, and she changed her mind. But I was saying that to him, and I was startled, Elder, because he was saying, you know, I was feeling like that just a couple of days ago.
Wow.
And then the Holy Spirit said, okay, do it again. You know, he let me.
Yes, to him now.
And you know, and I was just thinking about how many people just feel as though they have no hope, no way out, man. And we have Christ, and we know that there's hope, and we have a lively hope.
Yes.
And you know, we can go, we got peace in the midst of all this calamity and all this stuff that's going on. But everybody don't have that.
You know, this is so true. This is so true. Go ahead, Prophet.
It's very true, and I had the opportunity over the weekend. I had went to visit a church, and I had just shared what the Lord had put on my heart to share with the people. And one of the things that we can be known to do is to have our face plastered with a smile while we're broken inside. And we feel like we have no one to talk to, and then it becomes especially isolating if you are a minister of the gospel, because a lot of times you're out there pouring life into other people, and a lot of times they don't have the leaders, that is, they don't have people pouring consistently into them, and it can turn left real quick. I mean, this is why prayer, your life in the Word and in the presence of the Lord, it's a scripture in the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 1,
Naima, you're breaking
yes.
up. You're
oh,
breaking up.
Oh. Okay.
No, but now you're
all
clear
right,
again.
Hold on. Okay. That could have just be. Okay, hold on. Let me just make sure. Okay. Forgive
okay.
me for that.
I always find these people, you know, when they buy these phones from Kmart, you know, they always seem to have a problem.
Are you serious? No, you didn't try to talk about my phone. You went there. You know, little Betsy, she had some problems. She's been around for a couple of years. That's what her situation is. She's maybe 3 or 4 years old. So, you know, in technology years, that means ancient dinosaurs and stuff. You know, but we're so used to plastering the smile, but we're breaking inside. And because a lot of times we don't have that person that we can confide in without
yeah.
being judged. Or sometimes you're just wiped out. And
yeah.
feel like you can't step outside of yourself, and so it's something that can really take you into a dark place very quick if
yeah.
you're not in that presence. Abiding in the presence of the Lord is the only way to stay away from that.
You know what she's saying is so powerful about on so many different levels. And another thing I found out in terms of depression and being burdened is that the dynamics and the social dynamics, if you will, of today has changed for so
it
many
has.
Of us, and it's just different. So socially, we don't interact like
so
we
true.
Used to.
Yeah.
We don't have that natural interaction that we should
That's
have,
true.
And we're losing that. And there's a price that we pay for that. People are
but
not.
But you know, Chris. Though you know what's even worse, Chris, is that the
yeah.
dynamics of our living has changed so drastically
yeah.
Yeah.
that sometimes I don't even recognize the world any longer.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
a problem. I mean, the things that were good just the other day are now
yeah.
no longer any good. As a matter of fact, you know, certain thoughts and certain things that we say are considered almost illegal, you know, or,
yeah.
you know, we can be called homophobic and we can be called prejudiced
yeah.
and bigoted and all of these things
yeah.
only because, you know, we grew up during a certain time when certain things were prohibited. You know,
yeah.
but now
yeah.
with this constant need to stay politically correct,
right.
You know, it's getting harder and harder to understand this world.
And
yeah,
you know what? One thing about Jesus and his earthly ministry,
yes.
he was everything but politically correct.
Because he revealed the truth.
And the truth, his opposition didn't come from the sinners. It came from the Pharisees and those who felt like they had position. And
yeah.
just like in the book of Acts, when you look at the apostles and the prophets, when you look at their ministry, they wasn't just this established monumental kind of thing. They were mobile, but they
That's
were
right.
effective because they stayed before the face of God. They stayed
right.
relying on the power of God. It wasn't, well, you know, and I was sharing this. I'm going to make this real quick, Pop. I was sharing this with someone the other day. I said, based upon the criteria that we today look at, that do understand I am a teacher. That's one of my strong gifts that God has put
yes,
in me.
Yes, it is.
However,
yes, it is.
Based upon what we look at, what's your credentials, which college you went to, which seminary, what do you
yeah.
have, based upon the credentials of today, we would have easily chose Judas as the man to be because he seemed educated, he knew how to handle money, I'm sure he played the political game very well, and based
yes,
upon what Peter and John in the book of Acts, I think it's 5 or 6, they said that the people seen that Peter and John were not learned. Now, if they would have came into the church houses, we would have shot them out. Who are you?
That's
yeah.
You don't have
yeah.
this long itinerary. I didn't see you on TBN. So we need
yeah.
to get
yeah.
back to basics. We need to get
yeah.
back to the gospel
yeah.
because we're doing a bad job. And what I'm concerned about is our children and our children's children that's going to
Amen.
Be here. Where would the gospel be?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
where's the standard?
You said a mouthful there, because actually people are more interested in your credentials than they are with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, and this is, you know, this is just the wrong way to go about things. Well, yes, sir.
Well, you know what's what's ironic is what prophetess is saying, evangelist is saying, is true, because what I notice here in Alabama is that you have some very, very cutting edge ministries that are doing some very, very powerful things in terms of evangelizing the city. But one of the things that they do is they kind of like equip the saints to become leaders, if you will, in small groups. So it brings it back down to the formula of how Jesus discipled people, and he really lived among them, and they got to know him, and then they built a relationship, because that's how we really disciple individuals. They learn by what they see us do on a daily basis. And let me
ask this then: isn't this the same way that we interact with Christ? I mean, we learn a little bit about him, and during our walk, we constantly build this relationship with him.
I think that's what we need.
We do. Go ahead.
We have to, I think, you know, the Bible said, I believe in the book Daniel, he talks about where a day will be when knowledge will abound. Mm. And so we have a lot of knowledge, but the Bible also says that knowledge puffeth up. And so we tend to be very caught up on stupid things, because quite frankly, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to insult anyone. I am a huge believer in learning. Educate yourself. I do believe that. But when it comes down to the kingdom of God, I cannot go into the kingdom of God with my democratic, prideful philosophies, thinking that I'm able to, okay, God, well, you know, you got to respect that I got my doctorate from this and that, because it's foolishness to God. And so
I think that
we have another thing that is very disheartening to see is that we have a tendency of thinking, here we go, build your own God. So I'm going to take a little bit of what's inside a New Age philosophy. I'm going to take a little bit of astrology. I'm going to take a little bit of yoga and then Oprah. Let's not talk about that one. And I'm going to put it all together, and then my God is going to be the God who doesn't command or demand or require me to walk in holiness. He's going to love me, and I don't have to do anything. I don't have to come up out of this. We have taken the word. We skewed it. Now, one more thing, this will step on toes, because we have stopped. Where's the mothers? Where's the mothers of the church? They used to say, come on, baby, let's put some clothes on
you.
Let's cover up that cleavage. Where are they at? Because our daughters are selling themselves. We got a bunch of goners.
But that's powerful, because what we're going to be doing here in Birmingham, Alabama, one of the things that the Lord put on my mind for the city, it's called Magic City, and the Lord said we need a name change. Mm-hmm. And so it's called the Miracle City Revival. We're doing a revival in July 18th and 19th. And one of the things that God told me, decommissioned me to do, is to utilize the love of God. And he showed me in a day vision his love. Now, the measure, the amount of his love that he showed me, Brother Raymond, he said it was so small in terms of who he is that to me it would be unmeasurable. But the intensity of it blew me away. But God is saying to me, man, that, you know, it's so small you couldn't measure it. Mm. And when I seen this love, the love of God, when he revealed to me, because, you know, Paul says grow in the knowledge and the love of Christ. So that could be revealed to us on a daily basis. So I'm looking at this love of God, and he's revealing his love to me, and it blew me away, and I said, God, I can't love like you. You're just too awesome. Your love is too great.
Amen.
And he says, well, allow me to love through you. Allow me to love through you, and you become the conduit for me to love and touch other people.
Yes.
So I got the revelation that whatever I do really has to be saturated in the love of God. So that's my motive. That's my that's the gas in the tank is the love. And when I got on that particular horse and started to ride, God told me that there's nothing and nowhere that I cannot go, and nothing that I cannot accomplish with it, with His love. He says that you can do all things because love never fails. And man, the ministry just it just really changed. It took a whole another spin when I got that revelation, because everything that I do, whether it's prophesizing, whether it's feeding the homeless, whether it's reaching out in the neighborhood, whatever I do, I allow that love to come through, man, and it impacts my environment in a whole different. It's crazy.
Now you know, I'm listening to both of you, and you know, I can see people looking at both of you, saying that, you know, y'all are some kind of fools, I mean, to believe in that kind of stuff. You know, but the Bible says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
The power of God,
It says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate it. Go ahead.
Well, Raymond, I'm feeding the homeless. I'm feeding the homeless, and it was in a Catholic church, and they were doing some incredible things. I'm learning, you know, how to reach out to the community. So they were feeding the homeless, and you had thousands, well, hundreds of people come through for this meal, and I'm serving, and it was like after school, and a young man and his sister was coming in. Now, we're serving, and I noticed these two kids. He was about maybe, I would say, about 11 or 12. She was about 6 or 7.
Yes.
And he was pulling her. They had their backpacks on. He was pulling her in, and she was crying. You know, they were in the cafeteria, and she was crying. She said, I don't want to eat this food. And I'm stopping in the middle of what I'm doing. I'm looking at these children. And he says to her, you gotta eat this because we don't have anything else. And this was a brother.
My.
So talking about people saying that what we're doing is foolish. It's foolish to them, but love, again, it never fails.
Love never fails.
Organization to do that for the community. It was love that did. Caring for somebody else, you know, caring about well-being of others. And then when I did that, my world became enlarged.
That's right.
Because when we're self-centered, we live in a very small world.
That's
but
right.
When you look on others and you look at on the needs and exalt other people, your world becomes larger.
Well, let's examine what you're saying, Chris. I mean, because you know you have a lot of Christians out there who basically go to church, okay, and go home and go to work and that's about it, you know. But they consider themselves very Christian, you know, but they live within a small community, and their only extension into an outer community is when they go to church, you know. But when they leave the church, you know, it's just work and home, and there's no more talk of the gospel. There's no reaching out to folks. I mean, so what would you say about these people?
Well, again, if you have the revelation of the love, I'm back with that, and the Lord told me that there's nowhere. And, you know, it's so powerful that it goes beyond death. It conquers death.
Yes.
There's nowhere that love cannot go. So even from earth to heaven, love can travel there. So again, utilizing the love, if you have the revelation of the love of Christ, it's automatic that you're going to impact your environment. Because love is the greatest thing in the universe. When God looked to, and He showed me this, the revival has three components. It has love, unity, and worship.
Okay.
That's what the revival is, love, unity, and worship. Now, I'm saying, God, that's so simple. That's so simple, nothing profound. He says, okay, what is the greatest calamity? What is the greatest issue? What is the greatest problem that humanity, human beings have ever faced? And I'm talking to God. I'm in my devotional, and I'm like, well, God, you know, it would have to be the fall, because everything that's wrong stems from that. Sin entered into the world, and we fell. So he says, you're right. The greatest calamity, the greatest issue, the greatest thing that affected human beings was sin, the fall.
Amen.
And he asks, he says, how did I, with my infinite mind, with me being God, what was my solution to the greatest problem that humanity has ever known? I said, you went and you were seeking the lost. He says, then you'll find me in St. John's, which is a very familiar scripture, and people blurt it out like it ain't nothing. He says, you'll find my solution in God so loved the world.
That's right.
And he says, the answer to the world's problems today has never changed. The answer is still profound.
And you know, I'm not disagreeing with you at all, you know. But what I'm talking about basically is for that Christian who is not doing anything. I mean, because you know, let us take a look at what Jesus said, you know, when he left here. His last commandment to the disciples was, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Teach them all those things I have taught you," he said. And he said, "Lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age." All right, so basically what he was telling us to do was to go out and to reach out to the public. You know, help folks to learn about me.
Yeah.
But those of us who aren't doing that aren't really obeying the gospel.
He said, this is from the lips of... Go ahead.
Go
ahead, Naima.
Go ahead, Naima.
A lot of Christians know John 3:16, but very few know 1 John 3:16. And what he says there is that Christ laid his life down for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Yeah.
Now, don't like to hear anything that talks about laying down our lives. And herein lies a challenge, because we have taken everything is subjective. There is no truth according to what the masses are buying into now. Truth is based upon whatever I feel like it is, for the most part.
Yeah.
And so, but love is always selfless. Love is always concentrated. And we think that love is a mushy feeling. No, it's not. And I'm sure for the people who are married, you know it's not. Because that feeling subsides. And there's times where you just don't feel that way.
Right.
But it's
a
decision that you made. You made a commitment.
Right.
You made a decision. There's a covenant. And so there are so many things that we have let fall to the wayside now, going back to, because we have to take responsibility. There are certain things that we don't like to be responsible for. We like to say, Jesus, you fix it. But Jesus said, it is finished. He did it already.
Yes, he did.
I made it already accessible for you. Now, the beautiful thing is this. He says that I didn't leave you comfortless, that the truth is in you, that the Holy Spirit is in you, and he will reveal all truth into you. If Christ in me, the hope of glory, that means that I can do anything. Now, let's make it practical. I'm going to leave it alone right here. Let's make it practical. We know about Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. But let's make it plain. I can forgive Susie through Christ who strengthened me.
Yeah,
I can pay my tithes through Christ.
All
I got a worldwide and, you know, ministry.
Yeah.
No. Start home. I can take care of my family through Christ.
Right.
I can love people who hurt me through Christ, because it is that's where you need the anointing in. We're trying to showboat, but see, what are you doing every day? What are you doing every day that when that person, when you know you want to read them the lights, amen?
Amen.
That's just me. You know, you got moments.
and
Christ, because Christ lives in you.
He's
you back it up. because you don't have some experiences that you have to go back and repent, and then you got to go apologize. So you want God to cleanse my heart. God, change my heart. Like the man of God said, give me your heart, Father, because I don't care what we're doing. I don't care if we're prophesying. It means nothing. I don't care if you're laying your hands on the sick and the cover. It means nothing if it is not flowing from the vein of God, which is his love. Everything is done off that basis.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
True.
By the way, let me say that those of you who are listening to these two dynamic speakers, you can call in and be a part of this conversation. You can just dial 917-889-2234. That's area code 917-889-2234. Pastor Hannon.
Wow, my sister, I just enjoy hearing her speak, because what she's saying, it's like with such. Those are my sentiments as well. What she's saying, we're so on one accord, because Jesus also said, "If you love me,
that's scripture
you
that she
keep
quoted.
The commandments.
Excuse me, that scripture that she quoted starts out with saying, "This is how we know what love is. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. That's how we know what love is. I mean, there can be no greater love than the Bible says, than a man that lays down his life for his friend. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Absolutely.
Now, I heard you say something earlier about you feeding the homeless, okay, which is something that I've done for many, many years. But what I also heard you say was that you were feeding the homeless out of the Catholic Church. Now, you know, I find that too many of us don't consider Catholics as being a part of the brethren, which is wrong, because they are part of the brethren. And that's when you know that you have that component called love, is when you can go into a Catholic church and love the people there and participate with them to fulfill the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though you have some ideological differences.
You know what you both are saying is powerful, because Sister Naima said, being practical, doing what you do every day, being led by the Holy Spirit every day. I mean, there's so many different scenarios that come up on a daily basis with different people, different personalities. But remember, like my sister said, you're being led by the Holy Spirit, and He knows the intents of our hearts, so He knows what to do and when to do it to minister to us.
Mm-hmm.
So again, those that are led by the Spirit, He's given us power to become the sons and daughters of God, because we are led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So again,
how else can a Baptist minister wind up in a Presbyterian church? I mean,
it's got to be love for Christ.
It's love, and it's also being led by the Spirit of God. You know, some people think that what we do is foolish. Okay, even other Christians, I've been questioned over and over by Christians saying, "Well, what are you doing in a Presbyterian church?" Well, I'm doing what the Lord says to do. Go ye therefore. I'm preaching. I'm preaching the gospel.
Right.
All right, and I'll preach to whoever's listening. You know, if they would let me stand, if they would let me stand in a Muslim in a mosque or in a synagogue and preach the gospel, I would.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I can do it in the prison, I can do it anywhere.
What you're saying is that people put limitations, but the word of God is not bound, which is powerful. So the word is not bound, and we are the carriers, if you will, of God's word. But you know what you're both saying is so powerful. I'm just riding that horse of love, knowing what that is, and it's changing. It's changing our environment. It's changing and impacting the lives of other people. Because you know, he's called us to
do that.
You just said, lay down your life. Greater love for no one than this. So again, it's that not becoming self-centered thing. You know, a lot of people in the world, it's like, it's all about me. It's about what I'm going to get out of it.
Yeah.
And they will not help.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah, they will not help. They will not help. It's so political. They will not help. They will not come to assist unless they can see the benefits for self-preservation.
Yes.
But David Humble, see, if we stay in that Bible, the Bible, of the Word of God is never going to fail. Because
right.
I came down here, nobody knew me, but they knew my God. Nobody knew me, they knew my God. My job was to be an ambassador to become more like Christ. Light can shine before these people
that
don't know
me.
I had to let him shine, not me,
but
let Christ shine that they cannot deny him. They can deny me, but they cannot deny my God because I've been tested. I've been tested, just like David said. I will not fight in an armor that has not been proven or tested.
Give my audience a little bit of background on Pastor Hannon. You know, the same way that I talked about the prophetess Williams, okay, who went from New York to Virginia to Atlanta to Chicago and back to Atlanta, all for ministry. We find that Pastor Hannon went from New York and started a ministry in Birmingham. All right, I mean just started a ministry, just went there and opened up a church, you know, and the thing is that God just did a wonderful thing in him. And why don't you tell the story?
Well, when I first came here, everything that God showed me, he showed me the end, but he didn't show me the means to the end, how I was going to get there.
Yeah.
And I went through a whole lot of stripping. It wasn't, you know, again, I had to really, really love God in order to stay on course with his plan for my life. I had to really love
him. All right.
Absolutely.
Now,
that reminds me of somebody, by the way. You know, it reminds me of Abraham. Okay, God promised Abraham for a very long time, and he was telling him about the end, but didn't tell him how to get there. And as a matter of fact, you know, Abraham tried so many different ways to try to fulfill God's promise on his own rather than waiting on the Lord. But anyway, please continue.
Well, I tried to get there, but it was like a brick wall. Then God said, go ahead into get more training, get more schooling. So I went, got more schooling, got a degree from Southeastern Bible College. And then I also sat under Pastor Michael Moore, who has a mega ministry. There's some things that I didn't know I needed that God knew I needed. So I joined Pastor Michael Moore's Pastor Alliance here in Birmingham, and that was in 2007. I didn't get released to On Christ in Birmingham until 2012.
Wow.
And when I got released in 2012 to All Christ, I came in 2006. I came.
Wow.
I joined Pastor Mike in 2007, a year after I came. From
Has it been that long since you've been gone, man?
Yeah.
Oh, my
from
goodness.
From 2007 to 2012, I was learning. I was gleaning from Pastor Mike, who has a mega ministry doing great things here for the kingdom.
Yes.
But now, from 2012 to just now, I got the revelation of God's love, and it's been breaking down all kinds of barriers.
Yes.
I got the revelation. Here's what happened. In 2012, I bought the building. The building was so dilapidated that the people that were following me, they was like, okay, we see it kind of, but the roof was messed up. The roof was messed up, brother. I mean,
God gave you the vision, and that's what it was.
And after a while,
yes.
After a while, Brother Raymond, people were saying, this don't look like God. I mean, you got water coming through the roof, mildew here. We couldn't evangelize the way we wanted. And I sat there for almost 3 years.
Hmm.
And I remember one Sunday, it didn't look like I was going to make it. And I cried. I said, God, I want to do your will. And I was there by myself before the members were coming in. I said, I don't know what to do. And he says, look to me and don't move. Says, look to me and don't move. I was hearing,
hearing
all these voices saying that this ain't God and this is not going to work. Man, just before 2014 left out, it was like everything exploded. I work as a security guard. People wrote massive checks. They said, are you still in that building with that raggedy roof? They said, you're supposed to have a significant ministry in this city. Here's some money. Fix the roof. I mean, it started coming in like crazy. So now we're doing major renovations. But my point, my point is basically waiting on the Lord, trusting in Him. And like Sister Naima said, you got to love God. You have to be committed and dedicated.
Gotta love
because, man, it was hurt. It was suffering. It was suffering when you know, it was a challenge. It was like, I got people behind me, God. And and I'm hurting, and I don't know where to go from here. And He told me to stand still, man, because He was working on some people's hearts that I couldn't see.
That's where the money came from, brother.
And then, but see, I was in an environment that these people saw me every day. I would pray for people in the lobby. People would come in there losing their whole lives, livelihoods and cases and whatever. People would be in, I'm right there with all the politicians, UW Clemens and Judge Cook and all the black individuals. So, again, I'm in that place, and they come in there every day. And anytime somebody is distorted, they send them down, go down and see our security officer. He's a minister. He's a pastor. Let him pray with you. And I would pray with them, and I would try. I said, God, whatever you do, help me have integrity.
Yes,
I don't
want
to be down here messing around, acting foolish and putting you to shame. Let me walk in integrity so that people can know you through my life and testimony. And that went on for years since I was there. So They asked me, what is that building still messed up like that? And are you still in it? And I said, yes, I am. They was like, yeah. And they started sewing in, man. It's just crazy.
Wow. Yes.
Pop. Yes. Do you mind if I briefly pray for Pastor Hammond?
No, come on, let's hear it.
There is a prophetic declaration. Father, I thank you for the man of God who trusts in the Lord with all his heart. He doesn't lean to his own understanding, but in all his ways he acknowledged you, and you would direct this path, God. You are faithful to your word. You have magnified your word even above your own name. And I thank you, Father, for he seeks to serve you, Father. I thank you. Yes, while he understands, God, his job is to give of himself to the people, but he knows that it is you that he must seek to please. God, I thank you, Father, that you are making divine relationships and contacts, things that you have been praying, about and laying before you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you for the pastor heart that I hear in him. I decree that he will not compromise. I decree and declare, yes, God, that even when the Ishmael opportunity comes, God, he will see it a mile away, and he will say, I'm away on the Isaac, because that's where the blessing is. God,
yes.
I thank you, Father God, that he is a man. I decree discernment, that his discernment is even sharper than what has ever been before. God, give him prophetic dreams. Give him prophetic insights. Let him see the people before they come.
Yes.
And, Father, let them see him before they get there, God. And, Father, let him see moreover the spirit that they come in, God, that he will see who this is. How do you want me to develop him, God? Father, I decree and declare he's covered in the blood of Jesus. I come against every demonic witch, every type of Christian charismatic witchcraft wave that has been prayed against the man of God to try to stop him from the assignment that you have given unto him.
Yes.
Not so. He will not be troubled in his
sleep. He will not have things going on in the household, going on in his family that is not of God. I decree and declare that he will walk in the ways of God, in the protection of God,
yes,
the provision of God. The angelic,
yes,
host will war on his behalf. He will begin to see in the spirit realm, even as the angels are in kept locked arm around this household, Father. Yes,
yes.
He found favor with you. And I thank you, Father, that the favor of the Most High God is on him. Yes, God, you promised him things in 2015. God has promised you some things. You have been praying about it. You've been laboring about it. You've been, God, I'm believing people thought you were crazy, lost some friends along the way, that he done went too far this time. We don't know what's wrong with the man of God. We're not even sure about him. But just keep on going. They can stay tuned because your story is not over. And God,
yes,
God will bring recompense. He will bring reward that you don't even bother to vindicate yourself, because the Lord said, I'll vindicate you. This is part of my heritage for you being a part of my kingdom. And Father, I thank you, God, that he said yes when other men said no. I thank you, Father, that he has said faithful. And he said, God, I don't want to get here and lose it now. Take me higher in integrity.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Take me higher.
Yes.
And I thank you, Father. God, I thank you like Solomon. God, Solomon said, I want wisdom so I know how to rule over your high-level sin. And because he asked for wisdom and not for his enemies to be destroyed, and because he asked for wisdom and not for money and all the things in the world, Father, you blessed him over and above.
Yes.
And God, I thank you for the abundance. 2015, 16, and 17 will bring forth with persecution. But, Father, I thank you, God, that you have made him sharp and strong and steadfast in you. And it is so in the name of Jesus. Thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Amen. Praise God.
Hi, this is Brother Raymond. And I'd like to talk to you about the book written by my good friend, Christopher Darrell Hannon, called Pieces of a Plan. Pieces of a Plan is the autobiography of a young man living in the hood who is searching for his identity and his true purpose in life. While on this personal quest, Chris gains an education by meeting his biological father for the first time. After serving in our nation's National Guard, Chris becomes involved in the world of hip-hop, all the while struggling with his faith and looking for his true purpose. Read Pieces of a Plan by Christopher Darrell Hannon. This is the story that all Christian men should read. It's the story of how Chris held on to his faith regardless of his hurt, regardless of his difficulties, regardless of his circumstances. He chose to believe in God. You can get your copy of Pieces of a Plan by sending a certified check or money order for the low price of $16.95 to the main line, Post Office Box 7055, Freeport, New York, 11520. That's the main line, P.O. Box 7055, Freeport, New York, 11520. Be sure to pick up your copy of Pieces of a Plan by Christopher Darrell Hannon.
This is Beverly Williams. You're listening to A Christian Perspective with Elder Raymond Williams.
This is Jermaine Alabre. You are listening to A Christian Perspective with Elder Raymond Williams.
My name is James Bowles, and you're listening to A Christian Perspective with Elder Raymond Williams.
Yes, this is A Christian Perspective, and this is Elder Raymond Williams, and we thank you so much for being with us. Yes, we've been listening to our dynamic speakers, the Reverend Pastor Christopher Hannon, and also Prophetess Naima Williams, and we're going to ask that they might hang out with us for a little while. We have a small, short word to bring to you. We have to keep with the subject of today's lesson, and today's lesson is actually, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Will you still love me tomorrow? We'll be coming from the book of Matthew 21, verses 8 through 11. And it reads, "And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, for this time, Lord. We pray, Father, that you continue to bless us and touch us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask, God, that you touch this brief word, Lord. We pray, Father, that somebody out there might be able to hear what thus saith the Lord. We pray, Father, that if there's somebody out there that doesn't know you for the remission of their sins, that today will change their life. We love you, Father. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved, in 1960, a woman by the name of Carole King wrote a song, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? I wonder if she knew at the tender age of 17, that she was writing a song that captured the lack of integrity of mankind. In that one single sentence, we learned that even with good intentions, how mankind cannot always be trusted. We learned how the motives of man need to be examined, especially for important commitments. In this song, she writes, tonight you're mine completely. You give your love so sweetly. Tonight, the night of love is in your eyes. But will you still love me tomorrow? She tells us of a story of a young man who's about to have his way with a young woman. Now maybe this was once Carole King's story. Who knows? But the woman in this story is not hesitant at all, but she's all too willing to give herself to this young man. But she wants to know if this is a lasting treasure or just a moment's pleasure. Can I believe the magic in your sighs? Will you still love me tomorrow? The lyrics in this song speaks of what has been happening in the African American community for hundreds of years. Where young men and women engage in sexual behavior only for a moment's pleasure, only to find the young woman one day alone, and maybe with child. Carole King writes, tonight with words unspoken, you say that I'm the only one. But will my heart be broken when the night meets the morning sun? She goes on to say, I'd like to know if your love is a love that I can be sure of. So tell me, and I won't ask again, will you still love me tomorrow? Beloved, this song's lyric captures the wicked spirit of mankind's fleeting love. How we love for only a night, but in the morning's light, that mystical spell of our so-called love has been broken with the cold light of reality. Now that the man has gotten what he wanted, he finds that he may not have been in love at all. Instead, he leaves behind a broken heart and maybe even more. Maybe somebody knows what I'm talking about. Maybe somebody has been in that situation. In the Bible, the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus into Jerusalem was here. It once again, we examine the fleeting love of mankind. The Bible says as Jesus and the disciples approach Jerusalem, he and his disciples come into the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sends his two disciples ahead and he says, go into the village and as soon as you enter, you'll see a donkey tied there with his colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say that the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take it. The Bible says that this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble and riding on a donkey, riding a donkey's colt. Well, the two disciples, they did just as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt and to him, and they threw their garments on the colt, and the Lord sat on it. Now, most of the crowd that was there, they spread their garments on the road ahead of them, and others, they actually cut branches down from trees, and they spread them alongside the road. Jesus was in the center of this procession, and the people all around him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings to the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this, they asked. And the crowds replied, it is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. You know, they all hailed Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem that day. But we all know the story all too well. We know how love don't always last. We know that it was very soon after that, that the same people who celebrated the Lord Jesus in Jerusalem were the same ones who said, crucify him. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24 and 12 that because of sin, the love of many will grow cold. You know, maybe they were expecting someone to come from heaven and release them from the bondage of the Roman Empire. Maybe they were expecting someone to eradicate the Roman Empire altogether. You see, the Jews, they wanted their enemies vanquished. They had a problem understanding a Messiah that would tell them to love their enemies. They had a problem with a Messiah that would tell them to turn the other cheek if somebody strikes you, or to treat people the way you'd like to be treated. You see, the Jews of that day, they had different expectations of what the Messiah would be and what he would do. They didn't understand that the scriptures and God was for all mankind and not just for the Jews. This was something they thought was only for them and later for everybody else. Beloved, Jesus may have understood mankind's fleeting love, but it still demands an answer to the question, will you still love Jesus tomorrow? Too many times we blame the Lord when something traumatic happens in our life. We ask the question, well, why did this happen to me? If God really loves me, how could this happen? My husband, my wife, my mother, my father, my grandmother was a good person. Why did Jesus have to let them die? Some people even say, my child was innocent, Lord. Why did you? You know, Martha made a similar statement to Jesus when she said, if you had been there, he would not have died. How often must we be told that bad things can happen to good people? Does this stop the love of Jesus? Will you still love Jesus tomorrow? When you've prayed all day and you've prayed all night and your prayers haven't been answered? Will you still love Jesus tomorrow when you've lost your job or you can't pay your rent? When the bills are due and there's no money in sight? When you've done everything right, yet everything in your life is going so wrong? Will you still love the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Will you love him if you lose a limb or you've been diagnosed with cancer? Beloved, I just stopped by to tell you, to let you know that Jesus is still the answer. No matter what is going on in your life, even if your heart is broken, beloved, Jesus is still the answer. When I look back over my life, sisters and brothers, I can say without reservation that I know that I should have been dead. I know I should have been dead. There is no concrete reason for me to be living. I can say that had it not been for the Lord that was on my side, I wouldn't be here. Not that your faith or God's miracles rest or fall on what has happened to me, but I'm sure that there are many people that have had similar stories of God's grace and mercy. What about you? You've had those. Hasn't it happened to you? Somebody out there may have been sick, and yet you know that it was Jesus that came to your rescue. How many times has God worked a miracle through our children? You know, a few years ago, and I remember it very distinctly. As a matter of fact, I was doing a radio program with Pastor Hannon, who's with me now, and Reverend Tony Darien. You know, my oldest son, who by the way didn't want to have anything to do with me, was stabbed in the chest by his girlfriend in Grants Park, on Jamaica Avenue in New York City. No one had heard from him for several days, and no one knew where he was. His brother, my son Eric, who was living in Shreveport, Louisiana at the time, called and asked me to find him. Well, I found my son Raymond in the critical care unit of Jamaica Hospital. He was on a respirator and in a coma. The doctors told me that he was in critical condition and his condition was touch and go. Well, when I saw my son, it broke my heart. It broke my heart to see him laying there with tubes everywhere and him on a respirator. But I laid my hands on my son anyway, and I prayed to God that he might be healed. Raymond, my son Raymond, woke up in about a half an hour or an hour later, and he left the hospital in just a few short days afterwards. You see, beloved, I'm telling you this because you can't tell me that God is not good. You can't tell me that God is not a healer. You can't tell me that he still doesn't work miracles. You see, my son Raymond and I, we have a great relationship today, all because I serve a God who is loving. I serve a God who is kind and full of mercy. Beloved, wherever you are in your life, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is still the answer. Regardless of what people say, regardless of the political correctness that exists in this world today, God is still good and Jesus is still the answer. You see, the people during Jesus' time, they didn't understand this. And they said and they acted like they loved him. They shouted Hosanna as the Lord entered into Jerusalem. And they shouted Hosanna because they wanted something from the Lord. They wanted something from Jesus. But you see, Jesus didn't come here just to grant wishes. He didn't come here just to feed the 5,000. He came to grant the will of his Father. They wanted physical gratification from Jesus, but Jesus came so that they might have life and have life even more abundantly. Jesus came to fulfill their spiritual needs. He came to help mankind have a relationship with his Father. You may not get what you want from Jesus, but will you still love the Lord tomorrow? The Bible tells us about 10 men with that dreaded disease of leprosy. They called out to Jesus and asked him to have mercy on them. The Lord told them to show themselves to the priest. So as they began to travel, they noticed that they were all healed. But one of the lepers came back and with a loud voice, he gratified God. And Jesus asked the man, he says, well, where are the other nine? Even though they got what they asked for, only one was truly grateful. Just like that song, they loved him until they got what they wanted. The people in Jerusalem never got what they wanted, so they had no problem yelling, "Crucify him," just a few days later. Isn't that the way we are today? What have you done for me lately? Isn't that the society that we live in? Beloved, let us not forget the special meaning and significance of Palm Sunday and Easter and this Holy Week that's before us right now. The laying down of the palms on the road for Jesus and the shouting of Hosanna to the Son of David, this was a very high honor that was reserved only for kings. Hosanna is an expression of adoration and praise and joy. This was no small thing. And it happened so that it might also fulfill prophecy. It, however, means to me that Jesus was finally being celebrated by everyone for all the miracles that he had done. And he had done so many great things. Amen. But it also reminds me of how quickly we can go from celebration and jubilation to betrayal and hatred. The greatest meaning of Palm Sunday is that it precedes the passion of Christ, his death and resurrection on the cross. It reminds me of how he suffered and died so that we might live. It reminds me of how they beat on our Lord and how they spat on him, how they paraded him through the streets naked and bleeding, and how, yes, they hung him on the cross at Calvary. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he could have stopped us at any time, but just like a sheep, he went to the slaughter and said nothing. The Bible says he never said a mumbling word. He suffered in obedience and in silence, and he did this just for you and for me. Brothers and sisters, let us not forget how much Jesus loved us on this Palm Sunday pass and on Easter Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday that is about to take place. He came down from heaven to die for the sins of humanity. Can we love the Lord enough, even though we don't always get what we want? Can we love him even though your heart has been broken? If you can remember what he has done for us, if you can remember his sacrifice for us was the greatest gift of all, let us all remember how Jesus loved us for an eternity, even with our disobedience, and in spite of our faults and in spite of our sins. I can say I never will forget what the Lord has done for me. Can you forget? How can you ever forget the cross at Calvary? Amen. God bless
you. Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Pastor Hannah.
Yes.
I tell you, you know, God has been so, so very good to me. And you know, I remember that day when we were all sitting around. As a matter of fact, we had a bunch of folks on the phone, too. And it was me and you and Tony, and I got that call about my son.
Yeah, I remember that. And we prayed right away.
And we prayed right away, brother.
Yeah.
But it didn't stop the ministry. God would not have us to stop the ministry. He would have us to keep on keeping on.
Wow. God is awesome.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But, you know, I still had to keep with, you know, as stimulating as the conversation was, I still had to keep with our subject. And our subject was, will you still love me tomorrow? You know, and I see that Prophetess Williams has left us. You know, but it's okay. But it's okay, you know, because actually I planned this show for an hour. But you know what? I'm glad that I gave it an extra half an hour anyway. You know, God has been so good.
I appreciate her allowing the Lord to use her in such a powerful way. I receive the prayer and the blessings of the Lord. I really do. We need one another. We need to exalt the Christ in one another. We need to appreciate the Christ in each other, man, because, you know, we're one body. And,
amen.
You know, this is how we nourish every joint supplier. This is how we encourage one another. And I needed that encouragement from my sister, and God made it available. So God bless her for being obedient. I really appreciate it. I really do.
Amen. Well, you know, let me tell you something. God knows who you are, man, and he knows what you're doing, because as a matter of fact, you know, we talked about the love thing earlier, and had it not been for your love of humanity and your love of the Lord, you know, we wouldn't be here right now, would we?
None of us would.
Amen. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, I think you invited me to this thing coming up this year in July.
I seen
the remember personal invitation coming from Hannon, but you know I'm looking forward to see what's going to happen in that beautiful city, you know, and I'm just interested in seeing how God is going to do his thing, okay, with that ministry. Tell us about what's going to go on in the city there.
Well, we were going to have it in a larger arena, but we're going to have it on Christ Church at my ministry. We're going to impact our community and environment with the word that God has given us for this season, which is love, unity and worship. We want to hit each and every part of that component. We want to minister in the love, that we want to minister in the worship of God, and then also exalt, because there's an anointing in unity. You know, there's an anointing when we come together in unity, because you know, when you read how good it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity, is like the oil that runs now Aaron's beard. That oil represents the anointing.
Yes, it does.
So there's an anointing in unity. There's the presence of God is in that unity. You know, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there I'll be in
the midst. That's
in
right.
The midst.
That's right.
And he
that's
is
right.
the anointed one. So we want to push that. And the idea is we find Ferguson, you know, we live in a real, you know, what's going on in our world today is real, but God is more real than our reality.
That's right.
So we see Ferguson, we see all these things happening in different cities around the world. And even in France, they had the million people come and protest against the outrage of people being killed there. And they responded in outrage after an evil deed had been done. But God said that upon this rock I'll build my church.
That's right.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail. So we're not on the defense. So, and what I'm saying is we're praying that God allow us to where He doesn't come in. You know,
amen.
Instead of running to wherever He shows up and rears His ugly head, we go to the site where He just did something horrible in protest.
Yes,
can resist Him, put the blood of Jesus on the door, and He don't come in at all.
My.
Because there's a Goshen. I don't want to get too deep into it. But Goshen, Goshen was where the people of God were. They were in Goshen.
Okay.
And when the people were being, when the Exodus took place, or when the plagues were going upon Egypt, those plagues were killed the Egyptians. But in Goshen, they had light.
That's right.
They had light. They had life. They had prosperity. They had provision. Because they were the people of God. So that lets me know that God knows how to bless the just, you know, and separate the just from the unjust.
The wheat from the tares.
Yeah, the wheat from the tares. He knows how to do that. And
that's
one of the things that we need to be looking at. We need to be looking at the power of God being able to cover an entire city and supernaturally protect them in this time we live in.
My prayers are really for you and that ministry, and praying that God will go forth and do what He said He will do, you know, and I'm sure that He will, and I'm sure that the ministry will be very, very successful. You know, I know that you probably got lots and lots of ministers down there, but, you know, if you can spare one more, this minister will be down there too.
Wow, we've definitely honored
to have our covenant brothers, you, Gums, Reverend Darian, and,
yeah.
and a few others that we grew up throughout the years,
yeah.
to always be covenant brothers with me because of the history that we have. So
yes.
that's an open door.
I know that. I know that.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just tossing it at you, brother. You know, but you know, this has been a pleasant evening, man, and this has been a really a wonderful surprise that you were able to join us this evening, man. And I look forward to you joining us again and again and again, because I tell you, you know, you and I, we could have some spirited conversations, man. I mean, we've had them before, and we're gonna have them again.
Yeah, know? I got this thing that we're doing on Saturdays, Elder Raymond. I have a Skype program that I'm Skyped into Pakistan.
Really?
And I'm Skyped into Pakistan to almost like a whole village.
Okay.
I just sent them 30 Bibles.
No kidding.
Yesterday. Yesterday.
That's not
they
bad,
have
brother.
They have them Saturday. I come on down here at 8 o'clock. I guess that'll be 9 o'clock your time in the morning.
Yes.
And I'm Skyped in. They see me. I have Salim, brother Salim. His name is Salim.
Mm-hmm.
He interprets what I'm ministering, what I'm speaking about. And
yes.
Some of the people know they understand English, but for those that don't, he interprets and we go through it. Like basically, I'm doing chapter. At a time, I'm pulling out, you know, some important points, and they go back over it the weekend because they don't have it like we have it here.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Not only do they not have it like we have it here, I mean, you know, there's also religious persecution of Christians and Jews in that area of the world. So, you know, what you're doing is a tremendous blessing. You know, it really is. It's a tremendous blessing, man. And I applaud you for it.
Thank you. Every week that he Salim tells me, that's another 10 people come out. You know, his house is getting. I'll show you some pictures.
Yeah, man, I'd love to see it. What you're saying though is, and it reminds me of something that I've said to many people, and I've told them that there is going to be a day when there is no longer going to be mega churches. You know, the churches that are going to be little small groups of churches,
just like
in the beginning. It's going to be like little cells because it's actually going to be illegal to be Christian. You know, but those of us who are Christian, we're all going to gather in small groups and preach and teach in those small groups. All right. We won't be able to do it out in the open. You know, like we used to, but God is still going to protect the church right up until the very end.
Amen. I agree with that.
And that's something like what you're participating in right now. And you know, to God be the glory. To God
do you
be
have
the glory.
Skype?
Sure, I do. I'm using Skype right now.
But you can visually see someone.
No, no, I can't. Well, I have you have to have a camera, and I do have a camera, but I'm using Skype we use Skype with this medium, right?
Yeah, it was audio Skype.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm doing a visual Skype with them, and they have a screen, a camera, and everything, and they sit it there. It's just really, it's really good. They people come in more and more every day. Every week in Pakistan.
That's all right. Yeah. That's a beautiful thing, brother. That's a beautiful thing. But anyway, we're gonna close out this section, and we're just gonna say thank you to the Lord and for blessing us with you. As a matter of fact, why don't you pray us out?
Sure, Father God, we thank you for everything that you have done through us. We thank you, Lord, for those that thought it not robbery to join us today and any time that they come to chime into this program. We ask that you continually bless the man of God and the labor that you have given him in the person of Elder Raymond. Father God, we thank you for him. We thank you for the vision that you have given him. Father God, we thank you for the assignment that you have given him. We ask for you to continue to allow it to increase and be a blessing to many. Father, we thank you for those that have come and the ones that you have touched, and I believe that there has been healing of spirit, soul, and body, even financial healing. Father God, we thank you for provision. Father God, we thank you because you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord that provides. You meet our every need. Father God, we pray that when we look at this season that we're in right now, that we don't forget the true meaning of this season, how you became the sacrificial lamb
yes.
for the sins of the world. You paid it all. And
yes,
when you
God.
Said it's finished, there's nothing else that has to be added to the finished works of Jesus Christ. It is finished. It is done.
Mm.
It is settled. It is
yes.
appeased. So, Father God, we thank you for what you have done. We thank you for our dear sister who prayed so powerfully in the anointing of God. Bless her family. Bless her as she
yes, Lord.
To and fro. Father, remember our families. Remember the congregations of the saints. Father God, watch over them. Give us traveling mercies, God. And
yes,
we thank
God.
You, Father God.
Thank
if
you.
There's someone that do not know you personally, Jesus, in the pardon of their sins, that they have not accepted you as their personal Savior, they can do so at this very minute, this very moment. They can ask, Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I ask for forgiveness, and I ask you, Jesus, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior and my God. And from this moment forward, I promise to serve you, and I give you my heart and my life. And from this moment on, you are my Savior, my Lord, and my God. That's the prayer that we need to pray to enter into God's kingdom. God bless you. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. You have been listening to A Christian Perspective, and we certainly want to thank each and every one of you for listening to our program. We want to thank Pastor Christopher Hannon, and we also want to thank Prophetess Naima Williams for attending and having, you know, just coming out and spending some time with us. We pray that you'll be with us once again next week right here on A Christian Perspective. God bless you and good night. You have been listening to A Christian Perspective. A Christian Perspective is broadcast live from New York City every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you'd like to contact us, well, you can give us a call at area code 516-385-0896. That's 516-385-0896. Or you can email us at brotherraymond@aol.com. That's brotherraymond@aol.com. If you have a testimony or praise report that you'd like to share with us, you can write us, or maybe the Lord has put it into your heart to send a love offering to help support this ministry. You can send your correspondences to A Christian Perspective, Post Office Box 487, Freeport, New York, 11520. That's A Christian Perspective at P.O. Box 487, Freeport, New York, 11520. For more information, check out our website at www.brotherraymond.com. That's www.brotherraymond.com. A Christian Perspective will be returning next week at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. In closing, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you until we meet again. Good night.